Well, we have opportunity to be here this night and to hear the word preached once again. I'm happy to be up here. As Adam told you this morning, when he was in Africa with me, it was just this way all the time. I'd introduce him, he'd introduce me, I'd introduce him, and he introduced me this morning, and now I have the pleasure to introduce him this night. I know that he's given much thought to what he will present this day, and I hope that you'll give him your attention. I'm going to introduce him in his African name. So if you don't recognize it, this is his African name, but I give you our brother Adams.
Thank you. Good evening. All of you, I want to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and those who are live streaming, I want to welcome you here. And I want to tonight tell you that, as our brother had said, I have been giving much thought this week in prayer into what the Lord would have for me to bring. And the thoughts the Lord's put on my heart this week has kind of weighed heavy on me. Some of the things that the Lord has been putting on my heart to consider and to pray about concerning my life and concerning our local and concerning our church, they've weighed on me. My sermon tonight, I don't hope that it's something that would bring you down. Rather, I hope it's something that's encouraging if we listen and we consider these things. I hope that when we leave here, that we leave encouraged and strengthened for this week, and that we consider our walk. My sermon this morning or this evening is I've titled it "Closer to God," and as our brother preached this morning, as I was preparing this message, there were some scriptures that I had scratched down, and I thought, those are good. To make some of the thoughts that I have, to make those points through Scripture. And I chose to go in some ways another direction. Most of those Scriptures Brian covered this morning, and he preached on. So I take that as a witness from the Lord, that there's something that He has had that He's desired to bring to us. And I hope, as I look out, I recognize there's not a lot of people here tonight. And I hope that that many of our people who are not here are tuning in on live stream, and that they take consideration to this message, and not that because I'm bringing it that it's of any great importance. It's the Lord who's put this on my heart, and it's weighed upon me. And so I want to have you consider these things tonight. I want to begin in Isaiah in the 55th chapter. This is a super familiar scripture here. We know it very well. Isaiah in the 55th chapter, I want to read verses 8 and 9, and many of you can probably quote this. I know that I can quote it off the top of my head without even reading it. I know these words. I've thought about it. I've considered it. I found myself last night, I was driving from the East Valley. I'd gone to pick something up, and I was driving, and I just found myself considering these things. Verses 8 and 9, Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The first thing I want us to consider, and I want us to spend some time thinking about it. I found myself in some of our recent prayer services and sacrament services, as I listened to some of the needs that are being brought forth. I consider the needs that we have, and I consider the fact that we come before the Lord with our troubles and with our cares and our concerns, asking for wisdom and guidance and direction. And I believe the Lord has wisdom and guidance and direction to give us. And yet I think it's important that as we consider these things, we recognize that the Lord's ways, they're not our ways. Man's ways are not God's ways. We read in Scripture that man, that we're an enemy to God. We're separate, we're different, we're not an equivalent of Him. And in fact, our humanness and our human desires go contrary to Him. And the Lord is reminding us this, that His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, he sees things so much differently than we do. You know, one of the things I was, as I had this kind of lengthy drive yesterday, you know, I was visiting with a dear friend, a brother in the ministry who lives in another state. I was visiting with him on the phone, and we had this conversation, and some things that we were we recognize is this human trait. You know, how do we view God? How is it that we view Him? You know, so often, and we see this in churches today, and I think we find it oftentimes even within ourselves, that we have this thought or this expectation of God to conform to us. That He conforms, or we think He conforms, or we desire for Him to conform to the way that I feel like He wants to be, or the way I want Him to be, to answer me in the way that I want Him to answer me, or to work with me in the way that I want Him to work with me. You know, this conversation I had, you know, we spent some time discussing this. You know, the way we've had this happen in our life. You know, there's times that I've dictated to the Lord as I've asked Him for His blessing. I've dictated to Him how He's going to bless me. You know, Lord, if You do this for me, I will stand up and I will praise Your name. Conform to me, Lord, for me to praise You. Conform to me, Lord, for me to whatever it is. How often have we done that? I feel like that's a real danger. We find us doing things like that. We end up trying to conform, make God conform to us, when rather He wants us to conform to Him, to His ways, to His pathways, to His righteousness that He calls us to. I was listening. You know, I had that conversation as I was driving, and I did the business I needed to do, and I was driving home, and began listening to a sermon by one of our brothers, and there was a thought that he presented, and my mind was taken in this, and I turned off the sermon I was listening to, and I spent the rest of the time in contemplation and considering this particular opportunity that I have to preach tonight. And this brother, he asked this question in a roundabout way through an experience that he shared. And the question was this. He said, does God play favorites? Does God play favorites? This brother was my Uncle Joel. And he was talking about a situation where when he was still working, he had forgotten to do something that he was supposed to. And he got called in by his chief. And his chief had told him, he said, you know, I do play favorites. And it sent my uncle in a pathway of thinking the same thing. You know, does God play favorites? We don't like that particular statement probably, but I can back it up, I feel, in Scripture. And I want us to turn there because I want us to be considering these things. In 1 Nephi chapter 5, several years ago, Brother Don McIndoo encouraged us to memorize this scripture, and it's very short and it's very simple. 1 Nephi 5:1-22. He that is righteous is favored of God. Does God play favorites? When we call upon the Lord, when we petition Him for our needs, for direction, for healing, and all those things, does God play favorites? You know, do I think that God's up there saying, well, this guy's a terrible person, I hope he just suffers? No, I don't think so. But I do think that there's a scripture that we read in Mosiah, and he talks about, you know, how does a man know the voice of or how does a sheep know the voice of a shepherd he's never known? There's a stranger to him. You know, when we have this interaction with the Lord, we come close in relationship, in understanding, in communion with Him. You know, we recognize the Lord calls us to righteousness, to that right standard of living, through His Word, being edified and strengthened by it. He that is righteous is favored of God. And we recognize what that word favor means. What that word favor means. Let's go in the book of Psalms, in Psalms in the 5th chapter, and we'll see that this same thought is verified in both the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. In the 5th chapter of Psalm, the 5th Psalm, verse 12, David says this, "For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield." The Lord blesses the righteous, and with favor He compasses them about with His goodwill, with His grace. The Lord favors the righteous. You know, the title of my sermon, the thing here is Closer to God. Well, what's one way we can draw closer to God? You know, that we endeavor for righteousness. We come here every Sunday, two sermons, Sunday school, song service. We come here on Wednesdays, song service or prayer service. Sometimes we meet, other times. You know, we come here over and over again, and the point and the thoughts have been expressed over and over again that the fact of coming here doesn't make you righteous. It doesn't mean that you are accomplishing everything in your life the Lord wants you to. And you know, I want us to consider this. You know, why does the Lord call us here? You know, why is it that He's called men to preach to us? It's not because I have any great abilities, because He looks for someone to speak for Him. And, you know, I've said this over and over again, and I've been considering this in my life. You know, the Lord calls us here because He wants to speak to us. And so when we leave here, do we consider the things that are brought forth by the Lord's servant who speaks? When you go home tonight, are you going to pray about and consider, and tomorrow and the day after that, the message our brother brought this morning? Are you going to work on that particular thing? Are you going to ask the Lord where you're insufficient in that particular matter, and ask Him to work on your heart to that end? You know, if we're not doing that, what we're doing is we're asking the Lord to conform to us, rather than us conforming to Him. When we leave here, I'm going to remind you of this, but this is what I want you to take from this sermon, is I want throughout this week, as you pray and as you go about your day, I want you to ask this question, and is, can the Lord bless me in this? Can the Lord bless me in this? When you go home tonight or 2 days from now and you sit down at the end of your day and you go to turn on the TV and what you choose to enter into your mind, I want you to ask yourself, can the Lord bless me in this? In the conversation that you have with your coworkers, I want you to ask, can the Lord bless me in this? As you look at your phone, as you get ready to type something or send an email, whatever it is, I want you to begin to ask this, can the Lord bless me in this? If we can't look at the things that are going on in our life and feel that the Lord can bless us in it, we need to be making these changes, because we're not accomplishing this righteousness the Lord is calling us to. You know, it's similar to that thought of, you know, can we take Jesus with us? Could we see Him with us in whatever it is that we're doing? I want us to think about that when you leave here and throughout this week. You know, the Lord calls us to come closer to Him, and He wants to offer blessing to us. You know, we heard this morning, and I agree with it. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us. And sometimes, you know, I feel like we're just not able to bear what He wants to bring to us. And why is that? Why is that? I want to bring to you three things in particular that the Lord put on my heart that I talk about tonight in specific, that the Lord can bless us in if we are willing to do things His way. And I want to begin with our prayers. You know, we come here and we have season of prayer, and we offer an opening prayer and a closing prayer, and we offer prayer over the food. You know, I hope that you and your families, that you're praying, that you pray before you go to bed. I hope when you wake up that you offer prayer unto the Lord. And you know, we have this opportunity to have this communication with the Lord. And yet every one of us who's a parent knows, or if you have nieces or nephews, or you spend any time around the children, you know that oftentimes they're simply saying words. Oftentimes when we have, you know, our family prayer at the end of our day, or before I go to work, you know, before a couple of my kids begin to pray, I tell them, slow down and think about what you're saying. We have this opportunity to speak to the Lord, this communication with Him, to bear out our soul to Him, our fears, our hopes, our concerns, to ask Him. And you know, the thing is, it's not just empty words. We have this opportunity to commune with the Lord. Well, how do we view God when we pray? How do we view God? Do we accept Him to conform to us, that He just knows what I'm thinking? Or No, I want us to think about that for a moment. I want to turn to Moroni in the 7th chapter. Very familiar scriptures here. The page number is 763, and I'm going to read verses 5 and 6, and then verse 8. So Moroni chapter 7, verses 5, 6, and 8. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it's not counted unto him for righteousness. And down to verse 8, likewise it's counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing. For God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. You know, what we say and the attitude when we pray, it matters. It matters. You know, when we gather here together in our reunion, Bob Hedrick preached a sermon. He talked about worship. And he says, you know, worship isn't an act. It's not what you do. It's the matter of your heart. It's where your heart is. You know, the Lord is able and willing to bless us in our prayers, to hear and to offer up abundant blessing if we're doing it with real intent of heart. Not out of obligation and not to get it over with, but that we pour out our heart to Him. He receives those things when our heart is directed to Him. I'm concerned. You know, I see oftentimes when we enter into a season of prayer in our church that there seems to be a mass exodus from this chapel. I'm concerned about that. I believe that you can come back in and get right back into the service. I'm not saying that you can't. But I wonder about that. I'm concerned when we have season of prayers. You know, as a minister, I sit up here and I begin the season of prayer. And you know, there's two or three prayers that are offered audibly. I know, we're not all comfortable praying out loud. I got that. But you know, I wonder. I'm concerned. Are we willing to speak to our Savior? Are we willing to do it audibly? I'll tell you this, and I'm not telling this is something that you have to do, but you know, I've found before, you know, I get home 6:30 or so in the morning from work, and before I go to bed, you know, I'm alone in my room, and I found that I can focus so much more when I pray if I pray out loud. I was in my shop yesterday, and my wife didn't know it. She walked in on me. I felt I had to pray. My heart was heavy. And she probably thought I was crazy before she realized what I was doing, but it focused me as I pray out loud. You know, I want to encourage us to do that. You know, if we were to go back a couple of books here, we would see that Christ, you know, He prayed with the people. He prayed out loud and He said, this is what I'm showing you you're supposed to do. I'm not saying that we have to have a service where we go for 3 hours and everybody's praying, but let's consider these things. What is it that we're doing? How do we view God? How do we view what He's asking for us, from us? When you pray, are we doing it with real intent of your heart? Are you pouring out those things? And are you taking the time? Are you clearing your schedule? Are you clearing your mind to be able to commune with Him? If we're not, we're missing out on something. We're missing out on something. And I think that we can oftentimes convince ourselves that we're doing what the Lord wants because we're doing the act. That was what Bob talked about. We convince ourselves we're doing okay because we're doing the act and our heart is not right. Our heart has to be right in this. I want to turn to the book of James. Here again, super familiar scriptures. James in the first chapter, and most of us can probably quote this. In verses 6 and 7, you know, in verse 5, he says that, you know, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. You pray to God and you ask God. But then he gives this instruction here in verses 6 and 7 that's important as we consider our prayer life. You know, if we want to get closer to God, consider this as we offer up our prayer to Him, as we commune with Him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know that when we pray, we do it in faith, recognizing what faith is. It's this belief that God is able to do these things. It's recognizing that, you know, because He loves us, He's willing to offer up abundant blessing for us. Not saying it because, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try everything possible. You know, I've wondered this before in my life. And, you know, I'll tell you that I think that my children, I think it was Grace, during reunion, had a really good blessing. that you know, she wasn't feeling good, and she wanted me to give her a testimony, but she wanted to be administered to. She just had the words wrong, and so she wasn't feeling good. And you know, I administered to her, and then we had this conversation, my wife and I. Well, should we give her some medicine? And you know, I just felt so strongly, you know, I don't want to waver in this thing, that I've put this before the Lord. And you know, do I want Him to have this opportunity to offer a blessing? And you know, we didn't give her any medicine. She woke up in the morning and she was perfectly fine. You know, I want us to consider that in what we do. Do we put something up for the Lord, and do we have a plan B when we offer it up to the Lord? If we're doing that, then we're asking God to conform to us rather than us conforming to Him. Or do we put something before Him, not wavering, and putting that thing, that burden, that care, that sickness at His throne, recognizing that a God who loves us has it in His control? I want to turn to Luke in the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 10 here in Luke in the 11th chapter. Christ speaking. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be open. You know, this particular parable here, you know, as I look at it, there's some things that I consider here is there's some sort of persistence of this friend. And there's an effort that's made of this man to go to his friend here. You know, it's obviously in the middle of the night, because the friend who he's asking from, you know, is already in bed. But the one who's petitioning, you know, it's midnight. He had to get up and put on his shoes and go walk over to his friend's house and knock on the door and wait out there and ask him, would you please do this for me? I have this need, and you're the one who can offer up this blessing to me. It says that because of his importunity, he will rise and give him what he needs. And we don't use that word importunity, and truth be told, I don't know what it means. I didn't know what it means. So I looked in Strong's, and Strong's defined it as the word impudence, I-M-P-U-D-E-N-C-E, however you pronounce that, teachers out there. What do you think, Pat? Impudence? All right. And strangely enough, I don't know what that word means either. And you might not either, so I looked up that. It's from the Greek word, the 127, and it says, it's through the idea of downcast eyes, bashfulness towards men and modesty towards God, and awe. You know, the Lord, when we come before Him, He recognizes the attitude that we come in. And when we offer up prayer, what is it, how is it that we're looking, how is it that we're approaching Him? Is it in modesty and is it awe towards God? Is it in recognition that there's only one who can truly offer up blessing to us, and we can't do it on our own? Is it, you know, this idea of downcast eyes? To me, it's this humility. And so I think that what I want us to be encouraged of, you know, there are things that we pray about continually. And you know, I believe this to be true. And you know, I'm not going to tell this particular situation, but you know, there's something that several of us in the ministry we've been praying about. We've been praying for an entire year. Every Sunday when we meet together as a ministry, we were praying about it. And in our own personal lives, we were praying about it. And in a year, it took a year. But the Lord has answered that prayer. Our persistence and our humility. The Lord recognizes these things. And this is the way He wants us to conform to Him, is that we come before Him in humility. And that we're willing to take the effort and go and go a distance for Him if necessary. You know, this runs into the next thing that the Lord put on my heart that we talk about, and it's fasting and prayer. And you know, I'll be honest with you, is I'm just ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself that, you know, I'll stand here and I will tell you every big blessing in my life has come through fasting and prayer. and yet it's probably the thing that I do the least. You know, now that I've got things going on in my life and I want the Lord to bless me, you know, I'm trying to do a good job of being persistent in fasting and prayer, but you know, to my shame, because it should have been something that I have been doing continuously. And I want us to consider that, you know, that if we want to get closer to God, what is it, what are some of those things that we need to do? And I want to turn to Exodus in the 19th chapter. And I just want to think about this for a second, that what it was that was going on here. You know, because the Lord, He wanted the people to set themselves apart in preparation for what He was going to do. And He asked them to do it through a fast. And not necessarily the fast that we would consider, but He's asking them to set themselves apart and do something different. So I'm going to read in Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. And I want to just think about this for a couple minutes and have you consider this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set the bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it, and whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. And a hand shall not touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it's beast or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet soundeth long, and they shall come to the mount. And Moses went from down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. The voice of trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. You know, you look at that and you say, well, Adam, that's not necessarily a fast, but it is. But it is. He was asking them to do something different. He was asking them to take a few moments to prepare themselves for what the Lord wanted to accomplish. He wanted them to do something. He wanted them to cleanse themselves. He wanted them to wash their clothes. You know, it's not like at that time that they had a washing machine and a dryer there that they drug around on the back of their camels or anything like that. You know, we're talking a million people that had to prepare themselves to get themselves washed and ready for the Lord to show Himself. You know, in verse 15, He tells the men, that don't come at your wives. You know, there's something, there's some physical pleasure, there's something that you are going to avoid here, because I want you to be focused upon Me. And this was 3 days that He wanted them to prepare themselves before He was going to show Himself to them. And He began to lay out to them the promises and the commandments and the prophecies and the things that He wanted to do with that people, but they had to prepare themselves. I listen to a lot of sermons anymore, because now that it's getting to be winter time, it's a little bit colder at night and things kind of drop off, and rather than listening to some of the garbage I used to, I'm trying to spend more time listening to the Lord's Word. And you know, I listened to a sermon by one of our brothers, and he had talked about fasting, and he had talked about the fact that, you know, that he had been fasting one time and he had found himself to the point that he couldn't concentrate. And so he went and he got something to eat, and he said, I immediately felt better. And he said, but then I thought, you know, does this mean I'm not able to fast anymore? And no, it wasn't. It was something that he had to get better at. And he found himself able to focus and things like that. You know, fasting is one of those things. And this is our brother Jay who was talking this, and I was interested in what he was talking about. You know, he made this point that as humans, and especially in the United States, you know, our lives run on food. The thought of food, the desire for food, the planning for food. We plan to buy it, we plan to eat it, we plan to go and cook it, we're going to do something fancy, we're going to do this. Food is this thing that matters to us. And so when we put it aside, and when our body has want, it begins to strip away our humanness. You know, and I look at this and I think, you know, what is it the Lord wants us to do in our fasting? You know, I believe so much He wants to break down and diminish our humanity. He wants to break down and diminish the pleasures of this world, because when we're able to look past those things that give us temporary pleasure like food, we're able, even for a few short moments, to recognize that true satisfaction that comes from the Lord, from the communion with His Spirit, from the acknowledgement of His Word, of His being close to us. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 58. I'm not pulling out any surprise scriptures here tonight, just things that we just need to consider, I believe. You know, Isaiah is speaking the words of the Lord, and he begins to talk to the house of Israel, who fasted frequently. You know, it was a commandment, and they did it. You know, these fasts were called, and it was an expectation. But just like in that sermon that we heard at reunion, this worship, it comes down to the attitude of our heart. Can we break down and can we diminish our humanity so that the Lord can see someone who is fit to hear Him or fit to commune with Him or can recognize His Spirit being present with them? So I'm going to read here in Isaiah 58. I'm just going to read 1 through 10. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show the people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. You know, I want to stop here and just say something about verse 3. You know, we recognize this, that fasting is putting aside something else of importance. It's a sacrifice to us. And I recognize that coming here today oftentimes is a sacrifice. We may not have caught it because Bob said it quickly, but you know, he made this statement. He says, you know, how do we come before the Lord and how do we worship Him? Is our worship by coming to church and taking a nap? Is our worship by coming to church and dropping our head into our cell phone and watching the score of the football game or looking to find something to buy or things like that? You know, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You know, we can't diminish our humanness if we're not willing to put those things aside. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go forth before thee, and the glory of thy God shall be thy rear reward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light raise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. We should look at and consider and study this particular chapter because it speaks about what it is that we do in our approaching the Lord. It speaks about that very thing that we were admonished about, is what is the attitude of our heart in these things that we do? You know, the people at that time were going into these fasts. They were doing the things that the Lord asked to, the ordinances that He called for, but their heart wasn't in it, and they were conforming God to them. He's fine with the fact that I'm just not eating and I'm putting sackcloth and ashes on me, and that's what the Lord is looking for. And He's saying, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for your humanity to be diminished. I'm looking for you to separate from that enemy of God that the natural man is and to come close to me that I can use this opportunity to work with you. You know, we need to be better about fasting and prayer. We need to be better about it. We need to be better about taking time to separate ourselves from the world and all these things that are constantly upon us and to focus upon the Lord. And He can bless us in that. I want to turn to John in the first chapter. I'm sorry, John, 1 John. Let me say that right. 1 John in the fourth chapter. And I want to read a very familiar verse here. And I'm going to read verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, in a good portion of our brother's sermon this morning, he was talking about the Spirit of God and how we know it and how it works and how we understand it. You know, how do we get closer to God? You know, when we're willing to begin this process of gaining the Lord's favor by working through our sins and becoming righteous, as we find written in the Scripture, as we look at the commandments and the things that the Lord has asked us to, and our life draws closer to Him, the Lord begins to bless us. You know, I know all of us have decisions that we have to make. We have decisions in life, and you know, we have prayer services, and people ask, you know, I really need the Lord to answer me in this. And I want to encourage us that we spend some time learning how to discern the Lord's Spirit. Learning how to discern the Lord's Spirit. There are some things that as I was considering this and I've been praying about this week, that I feel like the Lord put on my heart to gently say, every door that is open is not God's. Every opportunity that is before us that looks good doesn't mean it's God who put it there. Every thought that comes into our heart that is good is not necessarily God's. It's not necessarily Satan's. I feel like oftentimes when we consider these things, you know, we read the Scripture and we think about it, you know, in terms of decisions or when we feel like the Lord has spoken to us. Well, is it of God or is it of Satan? But we miss out oftentimes on the fact that man has a spirit too. That we need to try the spirits. We need to try to prove, to look at the Word of the Lord and the things that we feel like the Lord is telling us. That we need to consider these matters in our decisions. As I was praying and I was driving home last night, you know, the Lord put these thoughts on my heart. You know, and it was this, you know, have you ever had God tell you no? Have you ever had God tell you something uncomfortable? If you haven't, you haven't experienced God. I found oftentimes that in those times that I've been approaching the Lord and wanting Him to do something for me, He has told me to do something uncomfortable to change. Something that caused me some personal concern or changing of my attitude or of my mind or asking for forgiveness for somebody or something like that. You know, the Lord doesn't always work in making us happy all the time. This job of perfecting us, you know, we look at the Scripture and we look at this concept throughout Scripture of pruning a tree, you know, and it's cutting things out. I don't believe that trees have feelings, but if they did, I bet it wouldn't feel good. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Prove them. Test them. That thought that's entered into your mind, just because it's there doesn't mean it's God who put it there. I think we need to consider the fact that we need to be suspicious of our feelings. Because feelings are not necessarily truth. You know, if we look at truth, you know, the word truth, it's the absolute matter of a thing. Truth is absent feeling or emotion. Turn to Jacob chapter 3, verse 19. Our brother read this morning. Says this, behold, my brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy to the understanding of men. For the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Wherefore it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Wherefore these things are manifested unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. You know, when the Lord speaks and His Spirit speaks, He speaks in truth as the matter of what something is. And it truly doesn't matter how we feel about it. it makes us happy, if it makes us sad, if it makes us uncomfortable. So oftentimes we find ourselves beginning a statement with, I feel like. And I think we need to be skeptical of ourselves. And we need to test that spirit that leads us to say that thing or to believe that thing. You know, I've heard it said, well, I feel like, you know, all of a sudden this opportunity was in front of me and I feel like God put it there. God's not the only one who's able to open doors. God's not the only one who has power to do those things. He's not the only one who's able to influence our thoughts and our minds. He's not the only one. Last night I just threw on Google real quick, you know, truth versus emotion. And it pulled up this statement by the American College of Psychiatrists. And it says this, it's wise to remember that as important as emotions are, feelings aren't facts. Many things may produce an emotional response. You know, we need to be careful about these things. As we go through our life and as we make decisions, we need to be trying the spirits and trying the opportunities, looking to the Lord, looking to Scripture. You know, if we feel like the Lord has told us something and we can't look and see that it's verified in Scripture, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. I've said this before, and I don't want to be offensive, but you know, the Lord calls us together, not apart. The Lord calls us to good works. The Lord calls us to responsibility. The Lord calls us to these things. But our feelings oftentimes can convince us otherwise. And so, you know, when we have these opportunities in front of us or these questions in front of us, you know, if we work through some of these things to get closer to God, to consider how we're praying and enter into Him and fasting in prayer and look at our decisions, you know, through the scope of the Scripture and through prayer and through looking for wisdom through brothers and sisters who are around you, you know, the Lord can lead us to those right decisions. I want to turn to Psalm, into the 119th Psalm, and I want to read a couple of verses here. I'm going to read verses 104 and 105, and then I'm going to turn to verse 160. Psalm 104 and 105. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You know, through the Lord's Word, and you've heard this so many times, but if you're not opening your Scriptures and reading, you know, Brian said it this morning. He says, you know, these men that you hear who seem to have wisdom in the Lord, who are able to say these things, it's not because they never open their Scriptures. To the contrary, it's because they spend time in consideration of the Lord's Word. Through thy precepts I get understanding. We understand the way the Lord works, the way He speaks, His thoughts for us, how to deal with the situations. You know, you've heard it said before that every problem or every situation that we handle in life, it's answered somewhere in here, and it may not be spelled out exactly. But I guarantee if we open our Scriptures, if you ask your you know, those who are well studied around you, the spiritual people in your life, you know, the Lord's Word answers these questions. Will help you in your decisions, will be integral in this trying of the spirits. Because, you know, there are, as I can see, three spirits. You know, the Lord's Spirit that works, Satan's Spirit that works, and man's Spirit that works. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God's Word illuminates where we are supposed to go, how we are to get there. You know, one of the biggest frustrations, I think, is because oftentimes the Lord only shows us one little piece at a time. One little piece at a time. And it's difficult oftentimes, but you know, the Lord is diligent in answering us if we come to Him. I want to turn to Alma in the 17th chapter, page 442. And I'm going to read verses 78 through 82. It's on page 442. Alma 17, 78 through 82. Now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. He was talking to his son, Helaman, about about Nephi and Lehi as they were coming across the wilderness, and they had the compass, the Liahona, and what it was that it was to do. And if we remember that story, you know that based on their faithfulness, when they were faithful, you know, it worked for them. It showed them where they were to go. It led them. And when they weren't faithful, it did not. With this you should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper. And even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it's as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you to a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point them unto a straight course to the promised land. And now I say unto you, is there not a type in this thing? For as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to a promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow to a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so it was with our fathers. For so it was prepared for them that if they would look, they might live. And even so it is with us. The way is prepared. If we will look, we may live forever. You know, God is not a God who joys or enjoys or looks for us to be confused. He doesn't do that. You know, we find these scriptures that say, you know, it's easy to understand. If we put our heart to understand the Lord's word, it's easy to understand. But we have to be willing to do so. I want to caution us in our decisions. I want to caution us in when we feel like the Lord is speaking to us, that we take the time and we try the Spirit. And that we look and that we put it before the Lord. And that we look to His Word. And that we lift up our voice in prayer to Him. And that we don't be hasty in our decisions. That we don't be hasty to speak. That we take time to prove the spirits, to try them. Truth is verifiable. Truth is verifiable. It can be verified. The Lord's truth is verifiable. We recognize through Scripture it talks about there being witnesses. You know, if the Lord is speaking, He's going to give witness. Probably said as much as I'm going to on that. You know, there are things that separate us from God. And ultimately, we're the ones who choose them. You know, can our thoughts become God's thoughts? And can our ways become God's ways? I believe they can. I believe that God can influence and direct our thoughts and our ways. And I want to close with a scripture and then a question. This scripture that Brian, you know, he didn't read it, but he referenced it right before he closed this morning. And it's back in the book of James, in the first chapter, in the 22nd verse. It says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, I want you tonight and throughout this week to go home and to consider what was preached today. Not because I preached it, not because Brian preached it, an apostle preached it, or anything like that, but because the Lord speaks to us. He asked us to come here to direct us and to guide us. And He wants us to be edified by His Word. So go home and consider these things. And I want you to think this week about getting closer to God. And what it is that you're doing, can the Lord bless me in it? How can the Lord bless me in it? Is He blessing me in it? Am I praying the way the Lord asks me to and wants me to? Am I letting the Lord guide me in my decisions, in every one of my decisions? Am I making God to conform to my opinion of Him or what I feel like He should be? Or am I conforming myself to God? Am I willing to put away some things so that the Lord can get closer to me or I can get closer to Him through fasting, whether it's through the physical fasting or the separating of yourself and the things that you do? You know, the Lord is calling us to get closer to Him. He wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us. And so let's let Him do it. Let's let Him get closer to us. God does play favorites. He that is righteous is favored of God. And so we should be striving for that righteousness and that closeness to God. So I hope that you consider these things. Hope I wasn't offensive. I'm not looking to be offensive. But I do believe that the Lord is calling out to us, and we need to be listening. And so I leave you with that, and I continue to pray that God will continue to bless us. Thank you.